chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and as we've been looking through the book of Genesis, and Genesis is 50 chapters, so it's not, you know, we're making our way through the book of Genesis. We're not doing a verse by verse, but more of a kind of story by story where the Lord leads with that. But Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15 says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarai, not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people over shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray as we take a look at this passage, Lord, we take a look at your word. I pray that we can also learn to be able to laugh the right way, laugh through our trials, that we can just have our trust completely in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we take a look at the battle that every Christian faces. Every Christian that's alive has a battle he faces within himself, which is the old nature and the new nature, the old man and the new man, the flesh and the spirit. And you face this all the time. You know, since the day that you got saved, that you were born again, you face this battle. In fact, you've had this battle. There's a good chance you had it this morning when you woke up and you're like, "Man, I sure am tired. I sure, you know, not feeling very well this morning. I should just stay home from church, you know." And then the spirit saying, "You know what, you got to be in church. You need to be fed. You need the word of God. You need to support the church and be behind the church. That you know that the Lord wants you to be there, and that the Holy Spirit was beckoning you, and you understood that you should be there." And a lot of people lost that battle this morning. A lot of people, the flesh won. But the Spirit won, and praise the Lord that this morning you hearkened unto the voice of God, and that you obeyed the Spirit, and that you followed Him. You know, we have that battle every day in our life, not necessarily just that about church, but everything, every decision we make through our day. You know, we talk about the decisions that Abraham made up to chapter 17, and how he either trusted the Lord and chose to obey God, or he trusted his flesh and disobeyed. We find that with each decision that he made came consequences, that he had reaped what he had sown, that the bad decisions of the past continued to result in future trials. We took a look at a couple of those examples, took a look at how he disobeyed. Abraham was told to leave his kindred and go into a place where God would show him. And the Bible said that, yes, he left that home and he followed, but yet he brought Lot with him and brought his father with him. And because of that, we find that there was some problems that happened. He ended up having to go to war to rescue Lot, and more problems came in the future. And it was all because he brought Lot with him, all because he partially obeyed God, because the flesh won the battle. And then Abraham, when he left his home and he was following God, the famine came in the land, and he, rather than trusting God, he went down to Egypt. Went down to Egypt and he went to try to relieve himself there in Egypt. But what happened there? We find that there he, you know, had a lie and said that his wife was his sister. And because of that, you know, we find that he inherited some things. He inherited some gold, and inherited some riches, and inherited also some handmaids and some men servants. They said, "Oh, that sounds like a great thing, you know." Yeah, but later on that came back. And later on, you know, when he was going through the trial and he lost patience in following God, and Sarah said, "Hey, take Hagar, the handmaid, take her, and go in unto her and have a child with her." And then we find all the problems with Ishmael, and we find even with the Arab world today, and it all comes back. back from his bad decision that he made going and following God. I thought about that as in when he went down and got the riches there in Egypt, that he received all that from the Pharaoh. And I thought, hey, remember when he fought in the battle there and rescued Lot? And the king of Sodom offered him all the riches and offered him the goods of Sodom? He denied at that time. What if he didn't? What if he received those riches? He may have, you know, received false gods. He may have received other handmaids. And that may have caused even more problems. So we find that when he made the right decision, we find that, you know, Abraham's life, we're going to find that he learned some lessons. You know, the battles that we face today, the bad decisions that we make, we find that many of the trials that we face today are because we've sown those in our life. That we've made the decision and that we're now facing those consequences. Sometimes our trials come just because God may be testing us, trying to test or give us more faith. Sometimes the trials that we come in our life are just because we live in a world of sin, and we find that this world has been diseased by sin, and there are trials that we face, but many times because of our own decisions. Chapter 16, Abraham failed to wait on God. He hearkened unto Sarah's voice rather than God's, and we find the works of flesh. It brought contention in his home. It brought envy. It went strife and jealousy. He lived in a hostile environment. It was quite the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, you know. When you make the right decision, you're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit, the right decision. When you make the wrong decision, you're going to bring contention into your life. Well, chapter 17, the Lord gives Abraham a word of rebuke. In fact, in chapter 17 is where he receives the name Abraham. It goes from Abram to Abraham, and also Sarai to Sarah. In verse 1, it says, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying. So God calls out to Abram, and Abram falls on his face. And as God speaks to him, he then repeats the covenant and how God will make his seed a great nation and how he'll give him the land of Canaan. Then God commands that every male in his house to be circumcised, and that is to be a token of the covenant between them and God. God changes Abram's name to Abraham because he will be the father of many nations. And God tells him that Sarah's name is changed to Sarah because she's going to have a son and will be a mother of nations. Now, what's interesting is as I read and as this promise is repeated to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, I want you to notice how he reacts to God's promise. It says in verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? We find that Abraham, the Bible says that he laughed. But when he laughed here, it was a laughter of joy. You know, well, why is this interesting? Well, the interesting thing about this is because 13 years earlier is when he doubted God's promise. 13 years earlier is when Sarah came to him and says, hey, looks like we're not going to have a child. You need to have a child with Hagar. He lost his patience. But now, all of a sudden, 13 years later, now God repeats this promise. Now God tells him, all of a sudden, he has a laughter of joy. And it seems as though he's questioning God here, but no, this is a laughter, and he's saying, God's going to give me a child when I'm old, when I'm 100 years old, and my wife is 90 years old, and this is a laughter that he has with joy. Nothing has changed. He has not gotten any younger. In fact, he's 13 years older. The situation is the same, yet God repeats his promise. This time he laughs with joy. Now look in Genesis chapter 18. You probably know where I'm going here, and you've heard this, I'm sure, before about Sarah and how Sarah reacts. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, it says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which is behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Then in verse 14 it says, Lord says, Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So the Bible says that Sarah, that he laughed, but she laughed inside of her heart. She didn't laugh out loud. And it's interesting to note that here she laughs within herself, but we find that that God knew. God knows our hearts. God knows how we react. God knows how we feel. We can clean ourselves up on the outside, but God knows how we feel. He knows what we think. He knows how we act. And we find that here that God calls her out. Chapter 18, the Lord appears here in this chapter. The Lord appeared unto Abraham, and three men came to the tent and told him, these are angels, and told him that Sarah would have a son. And Sarah, just like Abraham, she laughed. However, she didn't laugh the same way. It wasn't the same kind of laugh. Abraham laughed. His laughter was a laughter of joy, but her laughter was a laughter of unbelief. I remember growing up and, you know, when you're a child or whatever in school, or you know, maybe you do this at your house or whatever, you know, and you know, kids are laughing and they're laughing at one of the other kids, you know, and the teacher says, Johnny, they're not laughing at you, they're laughing with you, you know, and I don't know if anyone ever believes that or not, but you know, there's different kinds of laughing, you know, there's that, you know, and here that they're laughing. They both laughed, but one laughed like, yeah, good one. I'll see it, God, I'll see it, when I see it, I'll believe it. When there's actually a child is in my womb, then I'll believe it, but right now it's a joke. Right now it's something to laugh about. But when Abraham, when he heard it, you notice what he did? The Bible said he fell down on his face. It wasn't a belly laugh. No, it was he fell down his face and began to laugh. But the Bible says within his heart and in his mind there, he began to think, God is going to do this when I'm old. And the God responds to him because he knows the heart. You know, God tells him, yes, that Sarah's going to have a child. Yes, Ishmael, that God's going to have, you know, we're going to produce, and there's going to be descendants, and there's going to be children out of Ishmael. But my promise is through Isaac. My promise is to the son you're going to have with Sarah. That he laughed. Laughed with joy, but she laughed with disbelief. You know, I think it's interesting how the Lord calls her out. He says, why is Sarah laughing? You know, could you imagine Sarah in the background, you know? She laughs, you know, not out loud, but in her heart. And then God says, why is Sarah laughing? She probably, oh, you know, got a straight face real quick, you know? And then she lies about it too. You read on later, she ends up saying, I wasn't laughing. You know, she didn't realize, hey, he sees your heart. He knows what you're thinking. And here he calls her out, and then he says, is anything too hard for God? Hey, that's something we ought to think about. Is anything too hard? Sometimes I look at the church and I say, man, this is impossible to build a church in Binghamton. How can we do this? And then I think, is anything impossible for God? And sometimes we think, hey, I want my friend to be saved, or I want this person's life to be changed, or I'm in this horrible financial situation. I've been praying for this to happen. And you think, I don't think it can ever happen. And we'll laugh. There's no way that will happen. There's no way that person could get saved. There's no way that God could give me that job. There's no way that my health could get better. And then remember, Is anything impossible for God? Hey, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. This is something that Sarah didn't understand. So instead of laughing with joy, she had a laughter of unbelief. I'm going to show you three reasons why Abraham could laugh with joy in the midst of his trial. Look in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and dying, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make thee a covenant between thee, me and thee, and thou multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, first reason why is he understood that God is the Almighty. That God is the Almighty God. God appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Well, didn't he already know that? You know, didn't he already know that he was the Almighty God? Well, this is the first time that God calls himself the Almighty God in the Bible. But what I see here is he might have known that before, but he didn't understand who he was. And we see this by his actions. The Bible said that he fell on his face before him. That, you know, when someone falls on their face before someone, you know, that's a pretty good idea that they're showing reverence. That's a pretty good idea that's showing, hey, they understood who, he understood that he is the Almighty. When God came to him, then he just fell right down on his face before God. You know, he dropped down in the state of unworthiness, as in, you are the Almighty. He understood that God can do anything, that he is the creator of all. You know that all of us would say that we understand that God is the Almighty. We understand that God, that he gives life, he sustains life. We'd agree that nothing is too hard for God. However, when God speaks to us about our sin, you know, through the preaching of God's word, through the reading of the Bible, through whatever, you know, and we ignore it, we refuse to, you know, we refuse the word of God, refuse the preaching of God's word, and we turn our ear from the book of the law, we turn our ear from the preaching, we resist the Holy Spirit as he's speaking to us, our actions show that we may know it, but we don't understand it. We don't understand that he's the Almighty God. You know, yes, we know that he's God, but wait, if you really understood that he's God and God was telling you, the God that created this world, the God that holds the manual to life, and his word says, hey, this is how this is to be done. This is how you are to live your life. It's like reading a manual on how to build a car or whatever, you know, and you're thinking like, this manual doesn't have it right. You got to do it like this. If you really want the car to work, you'd say, no, you follow the manual. You know, and here's God's manual, and God gives us his word, and he fills this preacher with the Holy Spirit to preach God's word, and we are to hearken unto the words of God. And when we don't, you know, we're saying, yeah, we know you're the Almighty God, and we just turn our ear. No, we don't understand that he's the Almighty. If we understood that he's the Almighty God, when we heard the word of God, hey, we'd fall down on our faces. We'd say, yes, God's word is right. I need to repent of my sins. I need to fully trust God in whatever it is in my life. God calls to live a faithful life, a pure life, a holy life. And we often respond with, well, I'll do my best. You know, it's tough. You know, I don't really have time to serve you, God. You know, it's the Almighty God. You know, we need to understand that. We need to say, hey, this is the Almighty God. This is where my priorities should be. This is what I need to listen to. Hey, if I want the fruit of the Spirit rather than the works of the flesh, I need to follow his word. I need to obey him. He's the Almighty God. Hey, that's the first thing they understood. The first thing he understood, that God is the Almighty. Second thing is he learned to walk with God. He learned that obeying God is always what's best. We're going to read that verse again in verse 1. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and dying, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. And then he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. our response would be like Abraham on our faith before God, that we understand that He is the Almighty. Not only did he understand that He was the Almighty, but, you know, I get the point that he was overwhelmed by God's grace. You know, here, last time God appeared to him, you know, he didn't listen to his voice. He listened to Sarah instead. And he hearkened unto Sarah's voice, and he brought Ishmael into this world, and it brought a whole lot of trouble. And then God now appears to him the second time, and he says, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me." You know, and what does he do? He falls on his face. He realizes God's still going to use me. God's still going to give me this promise. And he said, wow, I can't believe it. That he's saying God's grace, his grace is sufficient for me. And he looked at it and he said, I can't believe it that God still wants to use me, that God is going to still forgive me after time and time again. And I think we can all agree in saying, hey, that's me too. That, hey, I've failed over and over again, but I understand that God, He is a forgiving God. And when God calls to us and God continues to bless us and God continues to say, hey, I'm going to give you eternal life no matter what you do. If you're one of my children, if you've accepted me, that ought to bring us down to our face and say, God, I'm not worthy. God, I ought to believe that. I ought to know that, hey, obeying you is always best. If I don't want the trials of my life to come over and over, if I'm going to learn from these things, I need to obey you. You know, it seemed that every trial that Abraham faced, it was due to his failure to trust the Lord by not obeying God. He didn't obey God completely, and he brought Lot with him. He went down to Egypt, and it brought famine. And because that, or went to Egypt because the during the famine, he didn't end up leading to him hearkening to the voice of Sarah rather than God. You know, it seemed to have learned from his past mistakes as the Almighty God approaches him. And he seems to be remorseful as he falls on his face before the Lord. Then God called Abraham. He says, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, that walk before me, it's interesting to note how God tells us to walk before him. To walk before him, that says, tell us in verse 1. But over in Deuteronomy, he's talking to children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And verse 4. He says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and clave unto him. He says, walk before me. Here in the book of Genesis to Abraham. And now he tells the children of Israel to walk after me. He says, walk before me. Now walk after me. Now the Bible says over in Genesis chapter 5, and in verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The Bible also says there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 that Noah walked with God. So they're commended and they're praised as saying that, hey, he walked with me. So God wants us to walk before him. God wants us to walk after him. And here they're being praised for walking with God. Now in Colossians chapter 2, and here's for the age in which we live in today, the age of grace, the church age. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. All right, he says, walk after him, walk before him, walk with him, and walk in him. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between these? What do these mean? You know, well, if someone's walking before you, and I think of this as like your children. You know, you're walking with your children. You want your children to. A lot of times, you want them to be playing. You want them, you know, if you're like me, you have a couple, and you don't want them to, you know, you don't want to keep your eye on. And so they're kind of walking before you, and as they're walking before you, they walk before you with trust. They understand that, hey, dad's behind me, or my parents are behind me, and I trust them, and they're going to protect me. They're going to warn me if something's coming from the side or from wherever, you know, that they're there, and we need to walk before God with a complete trust in God. We're walking before Him. And then we find it pictures our security, their trust as we walk before Him. And then to walk after. If you're walking after someone, you're following them, right? This refers to like a servant, you know, that we are to follow God. That we are to walk after Him, and we are to follow Him. We're to be holy as I am holy. And we are to follow God. That we are to be servant of God. And then to walk with. You're walking with someone. You think of friendship. You know, you think you're walking with someone, thinking communion, thinking fellowship. You know, this denotes a union. You have a union with someone. You're walking with them. You have that communion. We're to walk with God, have a relationship with God. And then, how do we walk in Christ? We walk in Christ. Well, we're in Christ when you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. In fact, Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It says, those that are in Christ Jesus, he's saying those that are saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. There. So the Bible is talking about being in Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ. That we are His body. That we are His body. In Christ, He is the head. Right? And so the head controls our body, controls our hands, our movements, our walk, you know, our talk. It all comes from the head. So as we're walking in Christ, what it's saying is saying that, hey, we're to yield to the head. We're to yield to the body of Christ. And as we walk in Christ, that means we are to follow Christ. We are to serve Christ. We're to yield our members to righteousness, not unto sin. Find that we are to walk not to the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what the Bible says there. Therefore is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That we are walk after the Spirit. So Abraham, he understood that God is the Almighty. He learned that trusting God is always best, that obeying God is always best. He learned to walk before Him. The last is he learned to wait on God. He learned to wait on God. You know, that's tough. Tough to wait on God. We live in a generation where we want everything done right away, you know. I think of all, you know, Burger King and McDonald's and all that. Your way right away. You know, you pull up into a McDonald's drive-thru, and now they have two drive-thrus. You know what I'm talking about, right? A lot of them they're built, and now they don't have one drive-thru, but they have two lanes of drive-thru. I don't really understand how that makes things go faster. I'm really not sure about that. But I mean, we want things done now. You know, we want things to go fast. If we're waiting in the car for more than 5 minutes, we're thinking like, man, you know, I should get something free. You know, I mean, I don't do that, but to some people, I mean, they're upset. You know, they want something free. They want something, you know, they're upset because things have taken too long. And sometimes we look to God like that and we're saying, God, things ought to be done on my time. That's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. They're like, man, God promised us a son. Where is it? Come on, God. Years have passed. Years. And, you know, in fact, up to this point, it had been like 25 years. He was 75 when God called him to follow the land which He would show him. And so here it's been like 25 years. And now it's been 13 years. Because the Bible tells us that Ishmael is 13 years old now. So now it's 13 years since the last time that God had promised them this and they disobeyed. Now he learns to wait on God. God comes to Sarah, tells him he's going to have a son. And what Abram do? He began to laugh with joy. He understood that God's almighty. He understood that believing God is always best. He learned to wait on God because God's delays are not without reason. You know, God has a reason for His delays. We don't always see it. And sometimes we may never see it. And we may not know the delays of God till we're in heaven, but we find that we have some examples in the Bible. And one of the examples is Lazarus. Remember that Jesus received message that Lazarus was sick unto death? And Jesus said, okay, and he waited around for 2 days. Then he showed up 4 days later after he was already dead for 4 days. And what did he say in John chapter 11? He tells us the reason why. John chapter 11 verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said, the reason why I waited, the reason why he's sick, the reason why there's trials in his life is that God can be glorified. And what do you mean God can be? Well, God can be glorified through that. You see, when Jesus brought him back from the dead, it displayed God's divine power. If he didn't, say he would have just went right away and just healed him from being sick, that wouldn't have displayed his power as much. He still would have been, it would have been great, But here, he waited 4 days. I mean, contamination had set in, corruption had set in after 4 days being in a tomb. There was no doubt. No one could say, well, he was just, he just revived him. He was still kind of alive. No, he's been in the grave for 4 days. He was mummified. He had the wrappings and everything. The grave clothes were already on him. That this displayed his power, that everyone said, wow, God was glorified more through that. It brought a greater faith to the disciples. The disciples got to see this take place. And the Bible says that Jesus tells them there later in the chapter, he says, I'm glad that I came late. And so you can see this. So your faith can be increased by this. It caused many people to believe that many people got saved through that miracle. Throughout God's word, we find that he is a God of order, a God of purpose. His actions and his delays are not without reason. Consider the return of Christ. Jesus promised that he was going to come back. And we're all waiting. Like, come on. Anytime now. We're ready to go up. I'm ready. Come on. When this rapture going to take place? Well, the Bible tells in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish. That he's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. But he said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That God's saying, yes, I'm delaying. The reason I'm delaying, because I'm still waiting for more to be saved. I'm still waiting for more to come to me, because I don't want anyone to perish. God has his purpose. When it comes to God delaying for Sarah to have a child. Well, how do we know? What was the purpose for that? Well, the New Testament tells us. Look over in Romans chapter 4. New Testament is a commentary of the Old Testament. If you want to understand the Old Testament, often you look to the New Testament. You'll find the story and you'll find them explained. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. This is talking about Abraham, that he didn't consider his own body dead because he had faith in God, that God would do this, that he laughed when God told him in joy. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It didn't matter. Sarah's womb, it may seem impossible for this to happen. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he had promised he was able to perform. God acted in grace, but not until Abraham had come to an end in himself. Not until it was physically possible for them to have a child, till God displayed his divine power, just like he waited until he was dead for 4 days. Then he showed that. If Sarah would have had a child at a younger age, it wouldn't have been like, wow, this is God's promised child. But now waited till he was, 90 years old, waited till he was 100 years old, then everyone said, look, This is a child of God. That here, this is God had done this. Think about it. God received the glory that his power was divinely displayed because of the deadness of Sarah's womb. Consider the Israelites as they left Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. It wasn't until they were at complete desperation until they heard, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," and they seen the parting of the Red Sea. I know personally in my own life, there are times that it seemed though God was delaying in the trial that I went through, but when he proved himself to be faithful, that's when our faith is greatly increased. You know, sometimes we go and we pray for God to do something and we have the answer right away. You know, then many times when that happens, we don't think to thank God because it wasn't a big deal in our life because it was just answered right away. You know, but when we go through those trials, we come to our wit's end. We come to the very end of ourselves, and we're pleading with God. We look to God, and God, then he receives the glory. Then then he's glorified through our trial. Sometimes we fail to see or fail to thank the Lord in our trial, you know, when those things are answered immediately. His delays cause us to look to him. His delays cause us to cry out to him. You know, some people only talk to God when they're going through a trial. They only talk to God when they're, you know, in trouble. Only talk to God when they need something. Hey, God wants us to walk, remember, with him. He wants to have fellowship with him. God wants to have a relationship with him. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes we go through those trials because God wants to hear from us. Psalms 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he cometh and riseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He says that they come to their wit's end, and then he says, then they cry out to the Lord. That he brings them down and takes them up, and he shows them, and they look to God through that. God's delay may be to test our faith, maybe to increase our faith. God's delay may be because he's teaching us patience. He's trying to teach us through patience, which bringeth faith. Sometimes may bring us to our wit's end, or bring us to an end of ourselves, so we look to Christ, so we call upon Christ. Maybe it's so his power will be more plainly evident and seen. Maybe it's so we can be appreciative of what God does, appreciative of who God is. Maybe it's so that he will be greatly glorified. You know, the name Isaac. Anyone know what that name Isaac means? You know, really these names mean different things. Remember, Sarai means contentious, and Abraham means, a multiple generations, wherever, everyone has different names. Jacob means deceiver. Well, Isaac, his name means, name means laughter, all right? That Isaac, he brought, when the promise of Isaac was going to come, he brought laughter to both of them, you know, but they laughed in different ways. And then when Isaac was born, the Bible then says that, guess what? Then, I think it's in chapter 20, we find then Sarah begins to laugh. She's laughing in joy this time, you know. And we go through trials. We need to remember that nothing is too hard for God. He says, is anything too hard for God? You know, with a trial that you're going through right now, are you thinking, this will never come to pass. This will never happen. No, we'll never get out of this. Or are you laughing? I need to look to the promise. I need to claim the promise of God and stand on the promises of God and just trust him. How are you laughing in your trials? You can laugh at your trials if you understand that he is the Almighty. Understand he's in control. You can laugh at your trials if you learn to walk with God. You have that relationship with God. Walking after him, walking before him, walking, in him. And we learn to wait on God. Learn that all the trials that we go through, all the delays, whatever it may be, that is not without reason. It's not without purpose. And whatever you have in your life, you need to learn to trust God, because the battles that you face, battles every day, decisions, And sometimes we live, you know, in a state out of God's will. God wants you to be in His will. But if you're not, then you're going to continue to reap those throughout your whole life. You're gonna reap the works of the flesh rather than the joy, you know, the joy and the love and everything that you ought to have in your life. You know, sometimes we look to human reasoning. Well, the guys at work tell me this. Well, I think this. Well, no, don't rely on your own understanding, but just trust God. God's going to bring those things to pass. Just look to God and follow His word, because His word is that the life manual. If not, if you're saying, nah, you know, I know what the preacher says. I know what the word of God says. I know what I should be doing. I know how I should be living. But if you're not, and you don't, then you're not. You don't understand who the Almighty is. You don't understand who God is. You know, you understand that, hey, He's the one that you know, that gives life. He sustains life. He gives the fruit of the Spirit when we follow Him. Let's stand as we pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day, Lord. As this message was preached, Lord, I know that You even spoke to my heart through this, Lord, as I studied it, as I looked to Your word. And I know that the trials that I go through in my life, the decisions that I make, often I want to lean to my own understanding. Often I think, you know, and I act like I know more than You do, Lord, but I know that You know more. I pray, Lord, in my life that I'll fall down before My face, Lord, and I'll look to You and I'll just trust You. I'll understand that delays that happen in my life are because You have a purpose and You have a reason. I pray that I learn to walk with You, walk after You, walk before You. I pray, Lord, that everyone that's here this morning, Lord, that's heard this message, Lord, they have the same heart that I have towards this, Lord, and they make those very same decisions that they may be hard decisions, but they're decisions that we know that, hey, that You're right. That if we want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, if we want to win the battles, the only way it's going to happen is if we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.